Those who say that Baptists don't dance have never watched Angela lead a choir anthem. To begin forming a theology of home, we must begin with a biological fact that human beings share a kinship with most of the natural order when it comes to creating a functional home. Home requires a degree of stability for a creature to function. But that stability is actually an interplay of chaos and structure. Every truly stable home needs tension, needs stress, needs uncertainty, needs challenge. But that chaos has to be balanced by a structure that allows you to manage that chaos. We have a squirrel that lives here on the church campus. His name is Theodore. Theodore has built a wonderful nest that the evil cats can't get to. There is a pecan tree that provides his meals. He has a very stable life that can handle the chaos. However, if a hurricane comes and destroys his nest and makes him vulnerable to the evil cats, if it blows down his pecan tree, Theodore is not going to survive long. If you've ever worked with the family of alcoholics, you know they too know that uncertainty of trying to deal with a family member and how they will express their chemical dependency, always living in a state of anxiety about how there can be more chaos brought into the household than the structure can allow. All of our lives, if we want to create a functional home, it has to be a balance between chaos and structure. Which leads us to the first understanding about the biblical concept of home. Home is not an address. Home is not a location. Home is a series of associations that give us a sense of refuge. That's particularly true for many of us who have moved around a lot. If you ask me, is Alabama your home? I would say yes, but really certain places. The memory of my parents' den where we cracked pecans and watched football games. That's home. There's a high ledge on Smith Lake from which I could stand and view a whole panorama of green and then leap off that ledge into the inviting water. That's home. The white sands of Gulf Shores where I could watch my children chasing sand crabs like I did a generation before. That's home. Home is not a particular address or location. It is a sense of associations that give us a sense of refuge. Jesus did not consider Bethlehem his home. He did not consider Nazareth his home. In fact, he said quite bluntly, "Birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And yet our Lord believed that this world was truly his Father's world in which he felt at home. Because he was fully alive to a host of subtle associations. The fact that the birds of the air neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet his heavenly Father provides for them. That's a sign of God's providence that gave him a sense of home. The fact that the lilies of the field could boast more splendiferous color than the greatest robe of Solomon, that was a sign of God's providence for the world. It conveyed to our Lord a sense of home. the fact that grass, ordinary grass, was so resplendent, even though it was here today and cut down tomorrow and used as fuel, that was a sign. God's providence for the world was all around our Lord, and he was so aware of it, and it gave him a sense, this is my Father's world. Home gives us a sense of refuge. I remember very vividly my clearest sense of home. I had been away at school for 4 months. I had studied harder than I ever had in my life. I had trained harder athletically than I'd ever trained. I'd met hundreds of people I didn't know before. My whole life was chaos, but finally on Thanksgiving morning, I was home. I awakened in my bed, looking at my curtains, peering out on my front yard where I played football from the time I was 12. The smell of my mama's bacon. Very clear sense that home in that moment was a refuge from all the academic and athletic and social pressures that had defined my life. When Jesus would go off into the wilderness, into the craggy rock cave wilderness, and drink in the splendor of God's world, it gave him a sense of home that allowed him to replenish and recuperate and heal and equip himself to be the Christ. Home is at one level a refuge. However, home cannot remain a refuge. Home has to become a springboard that moves us toward the new. I remember that weekend home after 4 months away. After 4 months of creating your own habits and you go back in your parents' household, you realize some of those habits clash with some of their established forms. When you've been on your own for 4 months, you don't appreciate it when your mom asks if you remembered to brush your teeth. Thomas Wolfe was right. You can't really go home again because you've changed. Circumstances have changed. And you realize the painful truth that every generation has to create the conditions of home in a new setting, in a new iteration. Home is a refuge, but it becomes a springboard from which we find home in a new context. That is a profound biblical insight. Home is not just a refuge. It is a springboard. And the only way you find your true home is often leaving the familiar and striking out for a place you've never been. What's the story of Abraham? But God summoning him out of everything he knew and saying, if you want to find home, you have to strike out for a new place, a new environment you've never been before. What is the whole Exodus story? But God's people answering the summons, not to find some nostalgic home of the past, but to venture forth in a journey that will lead them to a promised land where they have never been before. Home is not the familiar. Home is meant to be found by embracing the new. When the prodigal son returns home after his trip in the far country, he knows things will not be the same. His relationship with his father and his brother will not be the same. Constellation of circumstances that define home once, they have changed. One of the most vivid experiences of home was Israel returning from exile in Babylon. But when they got back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland, did they try to recreate the old? No. Ezra and Nehemiah led them to reconfigure their understanding of home, not in terms of national boundaries or national identity, but in terms of commitment to the Mosaic Law. Home for these exiled Jews was not embracing the old, but striking out for the new and finding home in a new configuration. So often in Scripture, we find our home not by hanging on to the familiar, but by having the courage to strike out for new vistas, new perspectives, and new understanding. That leads us to the third biblical insight about home. Home can be a refuge, it's a springboard. But home is mainly about relationships. Ruth drives that point home. She has lost her husband. Her sister-in-law Orpah has lost her husband. Orpah goes back to her people, back to her place, because that's home for her. But that's not home for Ruth. Ruth says to her mother-in-law, "Entreat me not to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God, and where you die, I will die." What was Ruth saying? She was saying to Naomi, "You are my home. My relationship with you is my home. I may have lost my husband. I may lose my sense of location. I may lose my social status. But none of that matters to me. But I can't lose my relationship with you. You are my home." That understanding of home in the biblical sense, our sense of home is defined by our relationships, dovetails with an even deeper Christian understanding. That home is ultimately a constellation of faith commitments, faith relationships that define us and give us acceptance and encouragement and affirmation and support. Let me say that again. The Christian understanding of home is that it is defined by a complex constellation of faith relationships. Relationships that give us acceptance and affirmation and encouragement and support. When people see theology term, a theology of home, there are many people that instantly cringe because they think, "I don't qualify. I'm not married. I don't have children. My life has been messy. Nothing about my life comports with the Norman Rockwell picture of family." You know what? The Christian understanding of home is radically different from the Ozzie and Harriet ideal. What does our Lord say? Our Lord says, "My gospel will actually divide father from mother, brother from sister." When his so-called biological family was around him, he actually said, "Father and mother have I none, brother and sister have I none, except those who believe in me." He redefined home and family in terms of a constellation of support of people of like faith who give each other acceptance and affirmation and encouragement and support. That's home. The early church radically redefined their culture's understanding of home. They pooled their resources. They sold their property. They combined their possessions to look after each other as family. They defined home as a constellation of faith relationships. The very reason the office of deacon was created was so as to allow the church to be a more effective family to each other. So, you might be 42 years old, single, childless, living alone, and you might have a truer Christian home than a household with two spouses, two children, and two dogs. Because it might be that the depth of your faith relationships, the support of your friends, your commitment to the service to others, and your profound sense of God's providence for you gives you a clear sense of family and home. Our Lord said something very profound to His family. I abide in you, and you abide in me. I abide in you, you abide in me. That's a more profound way of saying what Ruth said to Naomi. Our relationship is my home. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people be my people. Your God, my God. Our Christ says to us, I abide in you. And you abide in me. And so we are family together. There's a great psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 90. It's entitled, A Prayer of Moses. A Prayer of Moses, a man of God. And it begins, Lord, you have been our dwelling place for generations. You have been our dwelling place for generations. It echoes what Moses says in Deuteronomy 33:27. The Lord is your dwelling place, and underneath you are the everlasting arms. The Lord is your dwelling place for all generations, and underneath you are the everlasting arms. Moses, whose whole life was on a journey somewhere, retained his sense of home because God was his omnipresent tabernacle. God was always with him as friend with friend. And if you and I retain that sense that our Lord abides in us, we can never truly feel lonely or abandoned. Because our God is underneath us, supporting us with everlasting arms, and is the very dwelling place in which we live. Moses. Moses is actually a good person to end a theology of home with. Because one of my favorite vacation Bible school questions to my students was, where was Moses buried? If you're one of the kids who is in my class, you know the answer. The vague answer is, he was buried in Moab opposite the valley of Beth Peor. But the next phrase is what really matters. No one knows the place of his burial to this day. No one knows where Moses is buried. Like Mozart, like John Calvin, Moses was buried in an unmarked grave. Why? Because God had created a promised land, a home for God's people. But it was across the Jordan. He didn't want them pitching camp and making a shrine of the lawgiver's grave. They weren't going to find home looking backward. They were going to find home by going forward. Our Lord wanted His people to understand, I am your dwelling place, and underneath you are my everlasting arms, but you'll only find home if you don't look back. You have to look forward. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I encourage you to give thanks to God for your home, your family, whatever it might be, however it might be configured. But if you have surrounded yourself and defined yourself with a network of faith relationships that give you affirmation and encouragement and support and acceptance, then you, my friend, are home. And underneath you are the everlasting arms. May we pray together. Lord, may you create for each of us a sense of belonging, a sense of home that may not be associated with an address, but is associated with a matrix of love, remembering that always you are our dwelling place. Always underneath us are your arms. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.